Item 607, authorized license agreement with Portland Saturday Market, Inc. for the use of Ankeny Plaza and a portion of Waterfront Park.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. We have an exciting item here before us this morning. This is the operating license agreement between Portland Parks and Recreation and the Portland Saturday Market for their new home in Tom McCall Waterfront Park. As you all know, this area of Old Town is going through an incredible revitalization. And a key part of that is a permanent home for Portland Saturday Market. With a new University of Oregon campus just opening and the world headquarters of Mercy Corps under construction, the new home for Saturday Market will be a jewel of activity in this neighborhood. I want to thank all of the folks who are involved, Saturday Market, the Portland Development Commission, and Portland Parks and Recreation. All three groups have done an outstanding job of communicating and digging into all the details that go into a license agreement like this. This is a strong partnership between the city and the market that will foster more entrepreneurship in this area and support numerous Portland small businesses. We have representatives from these groups today, Steve Planchin from Parks, Keith Witkowski from PDC, and Paul Verhoeven from Saturday Market, here to quickly run us through the agreement, and then I would urge Council's adoption of that agreement.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Steve Planchon with Portland Parks. I don't need to give the introduction, it's been given, so I'll go right to the purpose of the ordinance is to authorize the license that will enable Saturday Market to relocate to Waterfront Park and succeed there, and also to acknowledge the fact that there will be an increase in parks operating costs because of the new facility that will be there. In a nutshell, the license terms and conditions are it will be a license. They will operate on the weekends primarily and also during the holiday season as they normally do. It's a license for 5 years, to be extended for 5 years automatically, and that at that time, if they go on, and they will, they'll succeed, it will be authorized again by City Council at that time. The license includes a minimum fee, which addresses their ability to pay based upon what they have historically been able to generate in revenues and also their historic cost. The license also includes the ability for parks to participate in the upside as the Portland Saturday Market succeeds over time. Also, the license includes an opportunity to revisit the license in the first year and the fifth year to make sure that we understood what we were talking about at the time that we negotiated, because this is a new facility. We feel very good about the outcome, and we encourage your support. And PDC.
Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Mayor and Member of Council. Paul Verhoeven, Executive Director of Portland Saturday Market, 108 West Burnside. The license agreement before you today is a watershed event for Saturday Market and for the Old Town neighborhood. Your affirmative vote will help to ensure the continued success of 350 microbusinesses, which over the past 34 years have grown Portland Saturday Market from a handful of determined artists and craftsmen into an internationally recognized institution that draws over 1 million visitors each year to the Central City. Your vote today will demonstrate your ongoing commitment to the revitalization of Old Town, the historic heart of Portland. The relocation of Saturday Market to Waterfront Park, along with the redevelopment of the Skidmore Fountain Building for Mercy Corps World Headquarters, and the opening of University of Oregon's Portland programs in the newly remodeled White Stag Blocks, represents the culmination of many years of planning, setting the stage for the emergence of mixed-income housing and renewed retail activity that will revitalize Old Town. I would like to thank everybody who worked so hard to make this happen. Our thanks to the staff of PDC and Portland Parks and Recreation who managed this project, as well as the many members of other bureaus who came together to move this forward. It was truly a group effort. I particularly wanted to acknowledge the support of Commissioner Saltzman and his Chief of Staff, Brendan Finn, and Matt Grum, who have been unwavering in their support. By approving this agreement, you are honoring the commitments made and demonstrating that in Portland, redevelopment means inclusion, not displacement. Together, we shaped our vision for a vibrant neighborhood, and together, we can realize our dreams. Together, we can look forward to a prosperous future for Portland Saturday Market and the Old Town neighborhood. Thank you.
Questions from the commissioners?
Did Keith?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I knew if I waited till the end, I wouldn't have to say anything. So, yeah, I really want to thank Lou Bowers and Kevin Brake on our staff. Our board's going to be taking action in a couple weeks. It'll kind of culminate the $30 million of investment that we've put in this area from what Paul and Commissioner Salzman talked about in terms of Mercy Corps, U of O, a more hospitable MAC station, and Saturday Market. And I want to thank Parks for the partnership, and I want to thank Saturday Market for their patience.
I have some questions. The operation, this is an operating agreement, right?
Yeah, it's a license, yes.
So it doesn't say anything about operating in a sustainable manner like recycling. It says grease doesn't require that grease be recycled. It just mentions that it will be disposed of in a legal way, basically. Talk to me about our green and sustainable expectations for the future workings of the Saturday Market.
The license, you're right, is a standard form license that doesn't speak to some of those points, but it does require that Saturday Market operate in full compliance with city code as well as it changes over time, and park regulations as they change over time. My experience so far in working with Saturday Market is that they do fully intend to operate in that manner.
I'd just like to add, Commissioner Adams, we do recycle our oil and have for years. We actually still probably foolishly pay to have it picked up because it's now become quite a valuable commodity. but we recycle that. We recycle plastic. We recycle paper. We recycle cardboard. And we look forward to the time when we can possibly be recycling food scraps as well.
So maybe it's the boilerplate for parks that we need to change. Of these agreements all over the city.
That's a good point. We can look at that.
And the other thing I'm concerned is the sewer commissioner, that any smells, what'd you do with the issue of potential smell with the Ankeny shaft, Ankeny diversion structures?
And the question is whether the smells are going to be a problem?
Have you dealt with any potential issues?
Well, it is in the design. There's plans, and I'm not exactly sure where they fit into the scheme of things to run. There's a vent that's going to be built sort of on the west side of the current pump station that will vent the shaft, and there's piping being put in from that vent, I believe, to the area just to the north underneath the Burnside Bridge, where there's plans for a future descending station if needed. And it's certainly something we're sort of keeping our eye on, because we don't want to spend a lot of money and have a great site and have it smell like the sewers. So,
neither do I. As the sewer commissioner, and as I know BS doesn't want to as well, but I guess I'm asking, do you feel confident that the city has taken all the necessary and prudent steps to prevent any issues related to smell in the future?
You know, I guess it remains to be seen. If the descending station is included as part of the original project, I think we're in good shape. If it's put off as maybe later, then we're just going to have to kind of hold our breath and hope. Nobody's quite sure what the issue is going to be like. It wasn't very bad before with the old pump station there. It wasn't really an issue. And my understanding is that once this system's online, most of the sewer is still going to be going down the old pipes, and the sewer will only be using the new big pipe in the overflow situations. And
sounds like we might have an answer.
Yeah. My name's Kevin Brake. I'm with PDC. I'm the project manager on this project. We've actually sequenced and coordinated with BES to have the foul air management system constructed during our construction process. So it will be constructed as this part of the program. And what that involves is venting the air out of the CSO piping and running it through an organic medium, which is basically like bark, to remediate the smell. So presumably, if the system works as designed, it won't be a problem.
That's being done part and parcel of this project, then.
Constructed by BES and sequenced with our work.
Great, thank you. And in terms of stormwater management, where did we end up on that issue?
There will either be a stormwater bioswale to the northern to the north of the Burnside Bridge. Most likely, there will be some off-site remediation required. And one of the options was looking at the McCall's project, the future McCall's project for off-site remediation. So it's going to be a twofold solution.
Thank you.
Within the contract, there's a request for $160,000 for operating and maintenance for the first year. Where does that money come from?
Well, that the way the ordinance is drafted, it would be the operating and maintenance budget that's approved for parks each year. And what we're requesting here is that you acknowledge the fact that it will be an increased cost and address it in the O&M budgeting process when the facility comes online. We won't incur the cost until then. There will be increased cost, increased cleaning. I need to make clear, though, that this is a net license to Saturday Market. They will be responsible for their own time, what they do there. They'll be cleaning themselves, you know, the space themselves for the time that they're there. But Parks will be in residence for five other days, and that will have a cost, significant cost associated with it.
Is that saying there'll be a request for $160,000 extra in the budget?
Yes.
So where's the, looking at the schematic, where's the path go, the waterfront?
You're referring to the Esplanade, Commissioner Adams?
West side Esplanade, yeah.
Do you want me to? So the design, you see the Saturday Market layout. What we've done is we've incorporated a secondary esplanade, which engages directly with the pump station. So you'll see on the east side of the diagram, that's the secondary esplanade outside of the dotted line area. So that will allow continuous pedestrian and bicycle traffic.
Oh, those trees come out or something?
No, they remain. So the existing esplanade will have Saturday Market booths on it during the weekend. So that's where the secondary esplanade comes in, where you've got the three oak trees, and directly to the west of, or the east of that, sorry, is where the secondary esplanade will be. We're taking down the concrete wall that's currently in front of the pump station.
And you're confident that's enough room because it gets pretty darn crowded?
It is. It's actually wider than the steel bridge crossing, so.
Is it wider than what's there now?
It is three and a half feet narrower than the widest point of the esplanade, so 16 and a half feet.
Do you think that'll work?
Yeah, that's based on our engagement process and, you know, all the people that, yes.
I think if that's all the space there was, it would be rather tight, but we anticipate that a percentage of those people are going to come off the esplanade and through the market area, so I think it'll, there'll be sufficient ways through there.
Well, I'm worried. Pretty narrow for the amount of biking and rollerblading and skateboarding and running and walking. 15 feet is pretty narrow. But you're at the end of your design process, so I'll move it forward.
So just to further respond to the mayor's question about the O&M costs, those O&M costs will not actually be incurred until the 2009-2010 fiscal year, and it is a OMF policy that when a new park comes online, that the O&M funds get budgeted at that point through a bump or through the budget.
And could I clarify something on what I said also? The way the numbers work right now is that we're estimating the O&M cost at about $200,000 for the new facility. The Saturday Market license is going to generate revenue. It's a minimum of $40,000. We're hoping for more. And Parks is actively going to try to program the space for the time Saturday Market isn't there. It happens that they're there at the times that revenue, you could generate more revenue on the weekends than you can during the week, but we're still going to attempt to make other monies from the facilities, and that, of course, will go towards the operating cost.
Further questions? Do we have folks signed up to testify?
Yes, we have three people signed up.
Okay, please call.
Andrew Seaton, Mike D., and Katie Nielsen. Please come on up.
Don't have a good resource alert. And you chat my ass.
State your name for the record when you speak. You each have 3 minutes.
Move the words.
Go ahead, Mike.
Howdy, Mike D. Howdy, Council again. I was commenting because I was concerned about the license agreement with the Portland Saturday Market. For one, you're working on a budget, so if this is going to cost the city money, you might as well just put it in there, and it can go through the good public process, and people can see what they're talking about. I'm concerned about TLAs, three-letter acronyms, and stuff like that you use. We heard OMN, OMF, BES, CSO, PDC, PDOT. That's a four-letter acronym, that one, but BS. You know, we heard a bunch of different acronyms, so it's not very helpful for the public if they don't know what you're talking about, and for the online community listening, watching on their computers or watching on cable, there's not necessarily someone that they can just go talk to. You know, here we might be able to ask somebody and somebody might know. I'm concerned at Saturday Market because of the sweeps of the homeless people over there. Now this is probably a new location for them, but my thinking would be that they kind of encourage the sweeps. And I know Paul, as a former, you know, I work with him on the Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Association. So he's very familiar with the people in the area. And so I would hope that he wasn't encouraging the people to get their stuff taken and for them not to get their belongings back. I'm concerned that he talked about recycling. I'm concerned that at Saturday Market, some vendors use styrofoam, and I think that's been prohibited in Portland for quite some time. And so so multiple businesses in Portland also use styrofoam, and I don't see any enforcement on that. And so I'd like to remind you to enforce that. Old Town Chinatown also is unique because it's got old buildings, and I'm concerned that people continue to let those be an eyesore. And then people are excited when people say, hey, we're going to build something new. We're going to smash the old things. And we start losing our old town history. So that's always a concern to me. I would hate to put us in a position where we need to boycott things like Saturday Market because it's a great program and it helps a lot of people. And it's a great, you know, economic thing for everybody and all kinds of cool things. I wanted to talk briefly on the back to the consent agenda real quick because I ran out of time earlier. Out of time earlier.
You can only address the issue that's before the council at the moment.
You're going to stop me from doing that?
I'm saying that in council, we have the procedures, and the procedures are that when we're having a hearing on an issue, that's the subject of testimony.
I only had 30 seconds left, and you had to interrupt me for that.
No, I'm telling you. I'm not interrupting. I'm telling you that's the case.
That was unfortunate. You could have let me go.
Time is up.
Great, thanks.
My name is Andy Seaton again. I'd like to apologize for any rudeness earlier. I've come from a long line of federal bureaucrats, and the one thing I know how to do is, I've sat through a lot of these meetings, probably not more than Sam, but quite a few of them over the years covering these some of the radio station work that I do, which I'm not representing them in any way, shape, or form today, and even called them to tell them that. But I would just like to kind of slow down your thinking. And I once said that when the peace camp protest was going on, I was going to come back here and cause hell again if this issue came up again, and it has come up again. So I'm just staying with what I am. And the thing about I must say that I really quite enjoy Saturday Market, and it's one of the jewels of the city, and it's always been wonderful. And it's good to see this got a good home in downtown Portland. And that's one thing that the homeless folks would like to be able to do is they'd like to be able to be close to downtown, close to services, close to the areas which they can access by walking, which is their only access. And you know, it's not been well recognized that this latest protest started when the shelters closed for the winter, and then prior to the Cinco de Mayo festival, the police went through and swept folks out from under the bridges and Waterfront Park and the like, and they didn't have any place to go, so they said they'd make a political statement and come down here, and they tried sleeping in the covered area directly under this area here, under the council session, but then were kicked out to the curb by Wackenhut. And it, which reminds me of a history I read about the City Hall, which was in previous recessions in years ago.
This issue is regarding Saturday Market.
All right. Well, I'll get back to Saturday
Please,
Market.
No,
then.
You're going to stick with Saturday Market.
Oh, all right. I'll switch back to the comments about Saturday Market. It's rather interesting the fact that you're willing to spend $160,000 a year for, I think, O&M is operating in maintenance fees, and of which you're only going to be getting $40,000 from Portland Saturday Market. And, you know, granted, they may be able to get funding from, you know, renting the place out, but during the week, perhaps one of the things that could be done is that you could rent it out to or establish a folk for the homeless can camp, which would be a good use of the area. So you know the in look talking you know in talking about money that you guys spend every day, every single time. It's my main effort here is just to make you guys realize how much money you're spending every day and how little money it'll take to solve the homeless problem. Thank you.
My name's Katie Nielsen, and I'm here to talk about Saturday Market. I enjoy Saturday Market. I always ride my bike through there, and some of the most interesting people I've ever met, I've met down there. And I'm a little frustrated that so many people are down there spending money on all of these trinkets that they may not really need, and the homeless are ignored. And swept out from under the bridges. One of the things that concerns me is that that you have done these recent sweeps, and in order to, you know, keep people away from under the bridge, it's okay for them to be over the bridge, but not under the bridge. That's concerning. That's kind of not really staying continuous with what you're doing. I guess you're applying it one place and not another. I also think that it would be really important for you guys to use their presence there for positive learning experiences, theater, art, offering them opportunities to show what they got rather than them having to open up their own little booths that are kind of illegal or whatever on the sidewalk. I think it would be great to give them a fair number of squares or whatever you call them, booth areas, to share their talents, gifts, music, poetry, art, necklaces, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's really important because there's quite a contrast between the people that visit Saturday Market with lots of money in their pockets and the people that live under the bridge there. And if we're bringing them together in that way by allowing them to see them, that they're not just, you know, in the corner selling their goods on the side, but that they're actually a part of the market and that they actually have viable, creative, artistic things to give and to even make an income at, then I think that that would be a way that we can start I guess having the conversation between classes, and doesn't happen very often. And I think there's quite a class war under the Burnside Bridge, especially on Saturdays, and it needs to be addressed. And I think that there are some creative ways that we can go about doing that. And if that means just getting together with the homeless and they're living down there and squatting around in that area and playing hacky sack or whatever they're doing, and inviting the folks that are bringing their goods to sell on Saturdays into the same room to have a conversation with one another and to get to know one another, maybe share some of their talents with one another, then I think that would be a really great place to start. That's all I have to say.
That's all who signed up.
Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to point out the reason this is an emergency ordinance is that construction is scheduled to begin in June on the improvements. And before we do that, we want to make sure all the parties have agreed to the various terms of this license agreement, since that is kind of the linchpin of going ahead, is this agreement.
Can I respond to that real quick?
No.
Thank you.
You're done. Thank you. Please call a vote.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank the folks at PDC who are largely paying for the construction of this project, and I know how difficult it has been to accommodate all the city's aspirations and stakeholder wishes within a very confined space. But I think it'll be a vast improvement over the existing Saturday Market area, and I want to thank you for your good work in this area. I also want to thank Parks and encourage you to follow up on your boilerplate so that we've got high expectations and operations of people who have licenses in the parks to be green. And who else do I thank? Commissioner Saltzman for persevering on this effort. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I do think this is going to be an outstanding addition to Tom McCall Waterfront Park and provide a permanent home for, as somebody said, one of Portland's jewels, the Saturday Market. So I just want to thank Parks, PDC, Saturday Market, and also Matt Grum and Brendan Finn and my staff for working very hard on this. Aye.
Potter.
Well, I believe that Portland Saturday Market is a real icon in Portland, and I appreciate what they do. And I am very pleased that they're staying in the area. I think that our other partners that are coming into that area, Mercy Corps and others, will be very pleased that Saturday Market is there. And I know most Portlanders are. So I vote aye. Move to the regular agenda. Please read item 632.
Adopt city comprehensive financial management policies.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 633.
I'm sorry. I have some comment on that one.
No, you don't. It's a second reading. There's no public comment.
633. Authorize revenue bonds for enterprise business system project.
Second reading. Call the vote.
Adams.
We have explanation. We had public comment last council session, so we just vote on this time. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 634.
Authorize South Park Block's urban renewal and redevelopment bonds.
Second reading, call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 635.
Authorize water revenue bonds to finance water system additions and improvements.
Second reading, call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 636.
Authorize contract with Pertain International Trucks of Portland to furnish 15 12/15 yard dump trucks for the Portland Department of Transportation and Water Bureau for $2,151,650.
Jeff.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Barron with the Bureau of Purchases. And before you, is a request to execute a contract with Pertain International Trucks for the purchase of 15 dump trucks in the amount of $2,151,650. And these trucks are going to be used on behalf of the Water Bureau and also the Portland Department of Transportation. And we did receive three different responses on this. And we've got John Hunt here from City Fleet in case there are any questions related to the acquisition of these new trucks.
Kind of, what's the make of the trucks?
International is what I'm told.
Like
with Cummins diesel engine.
So is just out of curiosity, John, if I could, Freightliner doesn't make trucks like these? Or they weren't proposed by the providers or our local truck company?
Yeah, they are local. We just didn't receive a bid from them. They weren't the low bid. Yeah.
Do they make a truck that could possibly meet this chassis that could meet these specifications?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Do. But anyway, it went out to out to bid, and Bratton was the low bidder, and so they happened to put him on an international chassis.
I don't know if Freightliner was one of our plan holders, but we did have 36 different ones signed up who obtained the invitation to bid.
Thank you.
Well, Bratton assembles the trucks here as well. They assemble them here in Portland.
Well, yes, the actual cab and chassis will come in, and then they'll add the dump body to it. and they typically use local companies to put the bodies on. Yeah.
Do you have any reason why? So Freightliner wasn't offered in any of these three, right?
Well, let me ask Don if he had. Come on, Don. Don is our acquisition supervisor and oversees the acquisition area, so he can better answer your more specific questions.
Councilman? Freightliner did not bid on this one. International came in with their bid. International was going to be using Columbia Body out in Clackamas to actually build the bodies and outfit these trucks. So, but Freightliner didn't come in with any bid on it at all. So.
Could you do me a favor and find out from them why they did not bid?
Yes, sir.
Thanks. I mean, I'll move this forward, but I'm curious to know why they didn't bid.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
This is going to go to a second reading so they can have the information next week.
Oh, it does go to second reading?
I don't know if you're going to.
I believe this is a report.
So we just do it now.
I think these are reports, right?
Yes, it is a report. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Okay. Further questions from the commissioners?
Do we have to do it this week? Could it wait a week?
I mean, they didn't bid. They didn't bid.
I'm just asking. Let me ask.
That's fine, but they didn't. I mean, I don't understand why we would hold this up if they didn't bid.
I think we can provide the information to you today, get that to you. Number one, I want to find out if they actually downloaded a copy of the bid to find out, and then Don can follow up with them directly.
Not
to
buy
them.
Local.
Well, but they assemble them locally, right?
I know. I want to buy them local. But if they didn't bid, I understand your hands are kind of tied, but I'm kind of curious if they felt there was some fatal reason why they couldn't bid on their own local government's request. A pretty big purchase item here. So,
and I agree, I'd like to see that too, but I don't want to hold up purchasing these trucks for them as well. So.
Well, I just asked if they could live with a week's delay. Can you or can't you? I mean, I'm open to either.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a week, we do have, as you're well aware, you know, some very aged trucks over at PDOT, and so we want to keep it moving, but a week one way or the other wouldn't matter. No, that's fine. Yeah, we'll go ahead and get that information back to you, but many of the trucks that are on there are well over 200,000 miles and very old, so we'd like to move forward with them, but that's kind of where we're at today.
I think this occurred once before, and it was because of the difference in the specs. Is that right?
That's what I recall.
Yes.
And we've enhanced the spec to allow for, you know, as many manufacturers to bid on the products as we can. In fact, we're working with Western Star right now at the Freightliner plant on a truck that they want to build for us and actually donate to the city. And so we're very familiar with the group and working with the specs and yeah, we were a bit surprised as well why they wouldn't bid, but.
Well, I think it shows good form on behalf of council to at least inquire why they didn't bid. If there's some reason that we should know about, I would ask the council to hold it 1 week, unless somebody's head is going to explode.
The rest of council okay with that? Okay, we'll pull it off a week.
Thank you.
All right.
I did not have a sign-up sheet set out for these.
Okay. Rarely. Please read item 637. Oh, yes. Please, you want to testify on this matter? You have to testify to this matter. You have 2 minutes.
Excellent, thank you.
State your name for the record.
Thank you. Mike D., County Council. I appreciate the commissioners asking about, you know, local companies bidding on stuff. It might help if you let people know if there was an RFP or a request for proposal type thing that you put out. You could tell the people, hey, here's what we did. We asked for bids from multiple companies. We posted it on our website. We posted it in the newspaper. We posted it online or however you did that. So it would kind of clarify some of those issues. And it is nice that it sounds like you're trying to do an active thing. The company could also let you know why they didn't put a bid in, so they could be active too. if you're using these 12 to 15-yard dump trucks and you're moving homeless people's stuff with it and throwing it away, I wouldn't think that was a good use of those trucks. And so I would ask that you didn't use those trucks for that. And, of course, I'm concerned that this seems like the proper place, time and manner, to address the council on stuff, and that you would try to limit my content of my input back to you. And it just doesn't seem appropriate.
That's the way it works.
Okay. I'm also concerned about the public's access to information. In order to get all these different things that you're talking about, it's not as easy. It is easier, but it's not as easy as it used to. Well, okay. We got a couple different things here. It is easier because there's PDFs online, and that's something that I asked for quite some time, and I'm glad to see that finally happen. But going into the auditor's office, these aren't readily available for people to get. There might be a set of one, and if somebody gets them, then they're not easily available for others to get. And if people request them, then it's a lot of work for the auditors to run around and try to get them. Thank you.
My name's Andy Seaton, again. I was just looking through this, and I would also like to say that there are two little-known clauses to the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that ends up saying that that Congress will pass a law restricting the right to assemble, which is what is going on out front, and the right to petition the government for redress of grievances, which is going on right now. And I'd like to put a new measure for you guys to think of in terms of...
Is this testimony in regards to this particular issue?
Yes. If you'd let me finish that sentence, I would have told you
that. The issue.
You're spending $2,150,650. And the measure that I would like to put that in terms of is for a low-income housing and apartment costs about $600 a month for a single-bedroom apartment, or $7,200 a year for 1 year's worth of an apartment. So the measure that I would like to put this in terms of is this represents a little bit less than 299 apartment years of what you're spending this money for. Granted, dump trucks are indeed a good and a necessary requirement. And although it is kind of interesting, the fact that also internally here, you're saying you're spending $2,151,000, but the lowest bid was $1 million on page two here, $1,960,855.95. So I'm rather curious what the difference is made up between that. So you know, that's the question I would have, and I am also kind of curious as to whether or not the equipment could be shared between PDOT and the Water Bureau and any other locations, folks around town. I'm sure the Parks and Recreation have needs for dump trucks every now and then, and I don't know if there's going to be a duplication of effort on those or not. So those are some of my questions for the council. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
That item will be heard next week. Item 637, please read.
Accept bid of Richard Phillips Marine Inc. for the Bull Run Dam 1 Outlet Works Improvement Projects for $770,733.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a request to award a contract to Richard Phillips Marine Incorporated for the Bull Run Dam 1 Outlet Works Improvement Project in the amount of $770,733. And I want to set the stage for the following two reports as well, in that I want to highlight a couple things. This one in particular, you'll notice that there are no participation by minority women or emerging small businesses on this particular project. And what we found is that this is primarily because of the specialty nature of this work, and they are actually self-performing all of the work with their own in-house or with their own workforce. So they do not have any MWSB participation on this project. And just an interesting note, the second low bidder did not have any participation as well, and they were actually self-performing the same work with their own workforce as well. So I think we have a representative from the Water Bureau here in case there are any project-specific questions I can't answer.
Questions from the commissioners? You have a sign-up sheet?
I did not set a sign-up sheet out.
Anyone here wish to testify this matter?
I would like to. Just listen.
Please come forward.
Thank you.
Can you state your name for the record? You each have 2 minutes.
Excellent. Thank you. Mike D. Once again, it's a bit. We have accepting one bid. We didn't hear how many bids there was. We did hear a concern that I've heard from Commissioner Adams in the past of a certain segment of the population that the commissioner would like to see apply for these types of things and possibly even get. And so that's a concern. My concern is I also have a concern about the public's ability to get access to this information. There used to be a terminal down in the auditor's office where people could look up city code and certain things on their own, and that's not there anymore. And so people who don't have good access to that information would be limited from getting access to that. Now, I'm not saying that's stopping the bids here, but it does concern people able to get the money. And then I get it's also difficult when things come up. For example, the $200 million for the Portland Police Association's thing, and you ask people around the building here where that came from or what are you talking about, and people don't know, that it doesn't help the issue. And so I'm concerned about the public's access to information regarding some of this stuff. And as far as the second reading and not having testimony, what is the purpose of the second reading if you're not going to have testimony? I think that's an excellent opportunity for people to respond to something or for people to have a chance to testify on something that they didn't notice was on the agenda for one reason or another. Maybe good public notice wasn't given or such, you know, or some type of misinformation was put out there and people could respond to it. So I think the second reading is a second opportunity for people to comment on it. Other than that, I wouldn't know why you'd really have a second reading. But I understand there is time things, but thank you.
My name's Andy Seaton. Just going through this, it says it was budgeted for a project estimate of $900,000 or 125 apartment years. And the bid came back at $770,733, which is 107 apartment years or a savings of 18 apartment years. And so there, maybe you could take the extra budgeted money and take 18 people off the streets in a one bedroom, and they would actually have the opportunity to be able to share that with their husband or their mate. I am rather curious about a couple of things here. One thing I would definitely like to echo Commissioner Leonard's comments from previous years that this is about maintenance on the Bull Run Dam and outlet works improvements. It's not real clear from the paperwork here exactly what it is you're going to be doing to that. So that's a little unclear, but I certainly want to echo Randy Leonard's comments. That Portland does have the best water of any municipality that I've been to. After moving up here from Phoenix, where you're hesitant to even wash your hair in that water down there. It was downright salty by the time it got to Phoenix through the Central Arizona Project. The Bull Run is watershed is true jewel for Portland, and it's one of the reasons that Portland is as big as it is. It's one of the reasons that East Portland joined and Albina joined the Portland many years ago was simply to get access to the Bull Run watershed. And also to answer one of Mike D's questions, one of the things that generally is lacking in the way that the rules and regulations is that when questions are asked here, the city council has a habit of ignoring them, is that on the last page here, there were a total of 5 bids received ranging from the $770,000 all the way up to more than $1,074,000. So, you know, to answer one question. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
This is a report. Need a motion to accept.
So move.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 638.
Accept bid of Landis & Landis Construction for the Taggart and Southwest Mitchell I-5 Sewer Rehabilitation Project for $1,003,000.
$366,607.
Mayor Potter, City Council, Jeff Baer for the Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a request to award this contract for the Taggart and Southwest Mitchell Street I-5 Sewer Rehabilitation Project for the Bureau of Environmental Services in the amount of $1,366,606.90. And this, again, we had very low participation on subcontracting, and we have 9.9% of the subcontracting dollars being awarded to a minority business enterprise. One thing I do want to note is that this and the following report has 0% participation, and as part of our due diligence to find out what's going on as far as lack of response back to on our subcontract activities, talking to Sam Brooks, the chief executive of the Oregon Association of Minority Entrepreneurs, just to find out, are the subcontractors busy? And the answer back to us was yes. And in fact, he mentioned that I think Hoffman Construction was recently awarded a $250 million project to construct the state hospital down in Salem. And they're running into the same availability issue that we seem to be bumping our heads up against, in that we're all drawing from the same pool of subcontractors that are certified as minority-owned, women-owned, or emerging small businesses. And so that's reflective of our low participation rate is what we believe at this point. And as I've indicated on previous requests, that we continue to work with the contractors through the life of the project and to look for opportunities for different divisions of work where they can do good faith effort outreach to MW and ESB subcontractors. So I'll stop there and address any questions you might have.
Questions from the commissioners?
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up. Mike has requested to speak.
Pardon?
Mike has requested to speak. And Andy.
Please keep your comments to the specifics of this particular report.
You felt that was necessary to say that, huh? Mike D.
Go ahead.
Apparently, I've offended Randy Commander, Randy Leonard. I was concerned that, once again, we didn't hear the numbers on how many bids and all that. We did hear, if we did, I didn't quite catch it, but I did hear the concerns that Commissioner Adams brought up in the past as far as a certain segment of business owners brought up as far as, you know, minorities and women and other concerns. Do any of you have a copy of the purchasing report? Bid number 108628.
It's your time to testify. So testify to the specifics of this bid.
You've already
made your comments about lack of information, so we've got that part.
Yeah.
Please specifically refer to the bid that was being accepted today.
Is that available here for review?
It's not available for review. We're at the point of voting on it. We don't come up to discuss the bid process or the review. You can either tell us you like it or don't like it or whatever you want to say about the specific subject, but beyond that, that's what the testimony is limited to.
Great. I wanted to make a quick comment on the hand clapping thing. I think that this is a...
Not specific to the report in hand. Either address that or you're done.
Okay. Well, if people wanted to clap or raise their hands for my comment, I wanted to address that. Once again, I'm sorry you're limiting my speech.
Well,
thank you.
Hi there. Andy Seaton. A couple of things here. The metric on this would be your estimate was $1.5 million, and the low bid was $1,366,606.90, and that translates into a metric of apartment years at budgeted at 208, and comes in as a low bid of 189.8. So if you could use those. You could use the excess funds off budgeted to put 8.2 people or 8.2 apartments to help solve the homeless problem. And I have a little bit of a question looking at the entails and details on this. Although I'm a little fuzzy on what the $567,000 is awarded to subcontractors, oh, I think that's the problem with the emerging women and emerging small businesses, women and minorities. But I'm a little curious. There is the estimate here on page three says it's 1.455 million, which is, I'm not exactly sure what the difference between the bid amount and the engineer's estimate and is the apparent low bid. Or the engineer's estimate, I guess, is different from what was actually listed as a project construction estimate. And unfortunately, my phone is ringing, and I think you really go through the roof if I try answering the phone during my 3 minutes, my 2 minutes here. And also, in general, my question is about the question of subcontracting to minority women and emerging small businesses. I think the city does need to be able to spend more money, spend some time to establish more emerging small businesses. And I would say that a great possibility for this is to look at the homeless community, because I've never met a bunch of more entrepreneurial people in my life than the folks that are just trying to get ahead in life and willing to look outside the box or outside the shelter system. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Report. I need a motion to accept.
So moved. Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read the next.
Item 639, accept bid of Brandt Construction, Inc. to the South Park Block 5 Phase 2 Park Improvements Project for $4,616,000.
Mayor Potter, members of City Council, Jeff Bearer for the record for the Bureau of Purchases. And before you use this is a request to execute a contract for the South Park Block 5 Phase 2 Park Improvement Project on behalf of the Bureau of Parks and Recreation. We did receive two bids on this project, and the low bid for Brandt Construction in the amount of $4,616,000 is the recommended amount. We did identify 19 different divisions of work for potential subcontracting opportunities. As noted in my report, there at this point, it's a 0% participation for minority women and emerging small businesses. Although we are working directly with the contractor, and they've got a sub-bid request out for the structural steel and metal fabrication divisions of work for that area. And they did, I want to emphasize their effort that they did in following a good faith effort. They solicited 36 different subcontract bids from minority women and emerging small business contractors in a variety of different divisions work. They received no response. And again, I think that goes to the point of what we found, that the subcontractors, the certified firms, are busy working, and this is really the ramped up construction season. Also, I was remiss in pointing out that all of these three contractors in the past three reports are in full compliance with our equal benefits program. I want to make that note. I'll stop there.
Questions from the commissioners? Do we have a sign-up sheet?
I did not. We have a request to speak on this.
Okay.
Andy Seaton and Mike D.
Go ahead and speak. You have 2 minutes. State your name for the record.
Great, thank you. I was happy to hear some of the numbers there. That was good. There was
What's your name?
I'm sorry, thank you. Mike D. I'm, yeah, thanks. I was happy to hear some more of the numbers there. The numbers of some subcontractors and certain things that you're trying to do to get the bids, including women, small businesses, and minorities. But it would still be nice to identify what the reason is for those segments not getting these bids or not applying or not, I don't know, maybe having a better percentage than zero. I'm also concerned about discrimination on the vision impaired. I think that
excuse me, is that to this item in particular?
If people on the online community or watching on cable television wanted to see what kind of support the community had for my testimony. The vision impaired would not be able to hear if people were clapping. I'm sorry, actually the hearing impaired wouldn't. The vision impaired would. But the vision impaired would not be able to see the hands raised in favor of my testimony. So that's what my comment has
you
to do with
keep there. Your testimony specific to this issue.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry that you feel that's necessary to limit my speech.
It's called the business of the council, so testify to it or you're going to be done.
Okay. I guess I was kind of thrown off. I've been coming in and out, you know, the whole time due to, you know, the rests outside and, you know, the enforcement of sidewalk obstruction ordinances and people just exercising constitutional speech. Thank you.
My name's Andy Seaton still. So this was budgeted at $5,050,000 for Bureau of Parks and Recreation. The metric on that would be 701.38 department years. And the low bid came back on, that's listed on the first page here, as $4,616,000, which would be 641 apartment years, which means you could put 60 people into an apartment for a year for the difference between budgeted and approved. Although I'm a little fuzzy here when they say that there was, that on this item, that there was no minorities, women, and emerging small businesses subcontracting opportunities, when in fact in paragraph 3 here it says that $1,848,000 was listed as going to subcontracting. So I'm a little fuzzy on that. And then another thing is, it's a little unclear from the paperwork here. The lump sum bid here from, who was it? Brandt Construction, which was $4,540,000. But then there was, oh, I see here, they're going to be adding $6,000 worth of trash receptacles, $40,000 of loose tables and chairs, and $30,000 of LED lights to bumping up to the final value. And but it's also rather unclear here in the paperwork that was available as to what exactly you guys are going to be doing to the South Park blocks other than park improvements. And that information would also be very valuable to be able to review. I would also, well, I'll have some other comments. I'll bring them up later. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's a report. I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second. Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 640.
640. Authorize application to the Oregon Department of Transportation Enhancement Program for a grant of up to $1 million for phase 2 of the Northwest Flanders Bike Boulevard Sobey Island Bridge Relocation Project.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
No. Read item 641.
Amend fee schedules for electrical enforcement penalties, facilities permit, land use services, neighborhood inspections, noise control, plumbing, signs, site development, zoning, and certain construction permits.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 642.
Authorize the rates and charges for water and water-related services during the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2008 to June 30, 2009, and fix an effective date.
Mr. Leonard, did you wish to pull that back to your office?
No.
You wish to hear it today?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead then. It's your...
Paul and Paul, you guys want to come forward? Thanks.
It's the water. Are the water rates?
Yes. 642.
You guys want to come forward? Just make a brief presentation.
Do the water rates?
641
has been voted on.
I'm sorry. That's what I was.